Wow, you all look so far away. You know what would be nice if everybody would just stand up and fill up these first three rows up here. Wouldn't that be something? Dream on, Pastor. Dream on. There you go. That would be something, wouldn't it? Maybe I better lead in prayer before I get myself really in trouble. Our Father, I think of the words of the song we just sang. And I trust for each and every one of us, you are truly our shepherd. I trust that there's not one here that is outside the fold, that has never placed their faith and trust in you. I thank you for this series of messages that we've been able to have. These, I think perhaps tonight might be number 10 on this familiar psalm as we bring this to a close. I trust that you would bless us as we look at these final thoughts. May it have really your capstone of blessing upon it to each of our hearts. And the truth I trust we have gleaned from it. Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what not to say. I pray, Lord, especially that you would bless your word to our hearts. That's what most of tonight's message is going to be. Your word. I just commit that to you. Thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, as we look at the psalmist's closing words this evening, why don't we say it together again before I get started. We have done this throughout our study, and we'll close out this evening the same way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Coming to the close of this, we see that in that final phrase of that sixth verse, they state what I think, I've just called it that, you may not agree with me, but I would say those few little words in that last phrase state the ultimate expectation of every true believer. The ultimate expectation. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you top that with something to look forward to as a child of God's? As we think about these words, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, what comes to your mind as you hear that phrase?
Security.
Pardon?
Security.
Security.
Pardon?
Peace. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. forever.
Anticipation.
Comfort.
Nearness to the Savior.
Can't hear that.
Being near to the Savior. Near to the Savior.
Near to the Savior. Okay.
Heaven, what?
Pardon?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. I heard another voice over here, but.
Heaven.
Heaven. Huh. Is that what David is really looking forward to? I'm going to go to heaven. Any of you ever think about going to heaven? I think we do. What do we know about heaven? Well, a few things come to our minds, don't they? Of course, one of the first things is walking on streets of what?
Gold.
Clear as what? Glass. I've never seen gold as clear as glass. We've said before, in humanity, we call it 24 karat gold is the purest you can get. But you know what? You can't see through 24 karat gold. But walking on streets of gold, what does that suggest? That things that are so important to us down here, what are they going to be like when we get home to glory? We walk on it. There's going to be so much more. Heaven. Never-ending day. There will be no night in heaven. We find the being able to see the heavenly hosts. I'm not just talking about the saints who have gone on before us, but heaven is filled with what the Scripture refers to in various places as hosts. That, to me, that suggests what? 8 or 10? How about just multitudes? Multitudes of heavenly beings. But was that David's greatest expectation? Heaven, never-ending day, heavenly hosts, and so on. Robinson, in his little booklet on Psalm 23, said this, and I quote, "He was not thinking precisely where he would be in the future, but with whom he would be." In other words, I started thinking about that. Is that really what this is all about? I mean, the psalm ends or begins with the Lord and it ends with the Lord, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all the things that the Lord takes his own through between verses 1 and 6. I started thinking about that. And the more I thought, the more I agree with what Mr. Robinson said. David was not looking forward so much to the place he would be, but instead, he was looking forward to the person he would be with. And I challenge you to think about that. That's what we ought to be looking forward to most, is the one who has made all of that possible. And we're going to get to spend. I say spend. Spend sounds as if it's what? Pardon? It's going to come to a what? Yeah. We are going to eternally be with the Lord. No end to that. And that, I'd like to suggest, is what's going to be the glory of heaven. Is our Savior and the Father on His throne. Wow. Isn't that going to be something? Well, sometimes Christians are ridiculed, they're poked fun at. You people, you come up with these pie-in-the-sky ideas. You talk about this in the future and that in the future. Where do you come up with that? Is this a dream somebody's had? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that true or not? Is it supported in Scripture or not? Yes. And I thought, as we bring this to a close, and as I prayed, most of what we're going to be looking at this evening is just going to just simply be God's Word speaking to us. And in all honesty, isn't that better than my Word? My Word's just Word of man. But God's Word, it's living. It lives forever. And it has the power to change hearts and lives. So I thought, first of all, you know, there's some places that we could look at that would give us, if you like to write down references in case someone would ever ask. Suppose somebody asks you, what support do you have? What can you show me from Scripture that you're going to forever be with the Lord? Other than Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that the only place? No, it's not. One of my favorite ones would be John chapter 14, and turn there with me if you would. John chapter 14, 1, 2, and 3. We are so familiar with these words. We often refer to them the night our Lord was betrayed and went into the Garden of Gethsemane. In that upper room, Jesus, meeting with his disciples, said in those first three verses, he had told them that back a few verses previous to that, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, and so on. You see, their hearts were heavy, and that's why verse 1 of chapter 14, when Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away and you can't come, it knocked the props right out from under them. And so Jesus continued, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We often talk about, what does this word mansions mean? What comes to your mind when you think of a mansion? Any of you ever seen a mansion in real life? We've all seen pictures of mansions, haven't we? Some of them are pretty, they're not too shabby. Some of those mansions that we've seen, I wonder what God's mansions are going to look like. And some authors have suggested, are we to come up with the idea in the words of the Lord that, I mean, God is just going to have all of this magnificent architecture or whatever that we would call the mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or sometimes we translate that word mansions to what? Pardon? Rooms or dwelling places. Now we've reduced it down a little bit from the concept of some cosmic mansion in heaven filled with all, a mansion for every saint. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, Jesus told his disciples. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Then that third verse, and if I go and prepare a place for you, then what? I will come again. And then the next words are so specific in my mind with what he's saying here. I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, in the house of the Lord forever. That is the glory that we ought to be looking forward to. Our Lord taking us to himself. And when that happens, we will always be with him. Does that do anything for you? That where I am, there you may be also. Wherever the Lord's going to be, what? We're going to be with him. No separation. To me, that is a glorious thought regarding you Christians, pie in the sky stuff. No, it's not pie in the sky. My Lord is going to take me home sometime. He's going to call me unto himself, and that where he is, I will be with him always. That's great. That's great. Paul supported the words of our Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In that great portion we often read with regard to the rapture of the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's two verses I'd like us to think of. 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then what? We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the last phrase Look how this fits. What did Paul say? When that happens, so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. Beloved, may I not be so focused on, I'm looking forward to, you know, the walking on the streets of gold. And may the focus of our heart be, Lord, I can't wait to see you and be with you for the start of the everlasting day of eternity. Because your word says that when you call me into your presence, there will never be any separation from you again. We're separated from the Lord now, right? Sure, he's there, we're here. Yes, we have his life in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we can't see him but when he calls us to himself. We're going to meet him in the air, and there will, he'll never say, okay, child, go play. I'm tired of you. Leave me alone. Nope. When he calls us unto himself, it is forever. John chapter 17, verse 24. In our Lord's Prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, John 17, verse 24, Jesus prayed this to his Father. Father, I want that they also, whom thou hast given me, be what? With me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Before the Lord Jesus ever even went to the cross, he was praying to the Father, Father, I'm looking forward to, I want this. I can't wait till those whom you have given me. Yes, don't be afraid of that phraseology and that truth. We know Scripture teaches what sometimes seems like conflicting truths. John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me. John chapter 6, no man can come except the Father draw him. And I believe that. And Jesus says, Father, I can't wait till those that you've given me are with me to see me forever. But on the other side, we see the John 3:16, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that, what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but if you want to believe in him, you could have everlasting life. If you want to believe in him, you could have everlasting life. You say, it sounds contradictory to me. You know what it sounds like to me? It just sounds like my God knows a lot more than I do. And he hasn't told me how all these things are going to work out. I'm not going to deny the one for the support of the other, and that's where problem comes in. When you major on one side to the exclusion of the, both sides of the coin are there in this matter of who can be saved. Well, it's the elect who are going to be saved. Well, how did that come about? And this, that, and the other thing. Our Father has that all worked out, and we don't have to worry about it a bit. The Lord said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. We do our part. He's going to do his part. with and through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, and he's going to draw this one. 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 And you say, well, what about all of those? It's not like those of one camp say. Well, it's because God elected them to spend eternity in hell. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. So we see here our Lord in this prayer, Father, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to them that they might be with me where I am, John 17:24, that they might behold my glory, which you gave me, for you've loved me before the foundation of the world. Psalm 140, verse 13. Psalm 140, verse 13. It says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and then what? The upright shall, what? Dwell in your presence. I shall abide, dwell. That's what our psalm says, isn't it? Same word here. Dwell means what? You're living. I'm going to live in the presence of the Lord forever. Won't that be something? Won't that be something? Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. When he comes, we're going to be with him. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-2. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. What's another name for our gathering together unto him? Pardon? That's the rapture. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. The whole concept or the whole context of this was there were false teachers at the city of Thessalonica that were stirring up the hearts of weak believers, and they were going around and they're saying, you missed the rapture. You missed the rapture. You thought you were one of his own, but he's already come. He's already taken those. And Paul says, I beseech you by the gathering together. Don't believe that you're going to miss out dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. At this point, uncharacteristically, what do we have here? 10 till. Uncharacteristically, I'm going to ask that everybody take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. I'm sorry for those of you that are reading a different version. I will be reading the King James. But we're going to start at Revelation 21:10, and I'm going to read through Revelation 22:5. Well, Pastor, that's a lengthy portion. That's right. But I thought how fitting it would be for us to get John's perspective of the future day. The future day. What are some things that we know regarding the future? There's going to be... What's the next big thing we're waiting for? The rapture. Then what happens? tribulation, 7 years. Pardon? At the end of the tribulation, the glorious second coming of the Lord, when he actually comes down to earth, and when we come with him, because we will have already been taken home to glory, and we're going to be with him forever. He's not going to come down here and leave us somewhere else. He's bringing us with him for the what? Thousand-year what? Millennium. And after the close of the millennium, something is going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen to this old earth? Huh? It's going to burn up. There's going to be the destruction of this old earth, and there's going to be the establishment of a new heaven and a new earth. And we come to that in Revelation 21. And you talk about, give us a picture of eternity. We've got it in these verses. And that's why I thought it would be so good for us to close this 23rd Psalm, just reading this lengthy portion of what's in store of being in the Lord's presence forever. Now, you've all got your Revelation passage opened, and I don't. That's what happens when I talk and don't turn. All right, here we go. Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. So, 12 gates, and each one had a name. And what was the name of each gate? Each gate was named after what? One of the tribes, one of the 12 children of Israel. The wall of the city, now get this, had 12 foundations. And in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Are you trying to get a picture of that? That's going to be something here. This wall, great wall around this new Jerusalem. 3 gates on each side of the city. And this wall had 12 foundations, one on top of the other, and each one was the name of one of the apostles, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But Judas Iscariot was what? He was a traitor, wasn't he? I wonder who the 12th name will be. Will it be Matthias that the church chose in Acts chapter 1 to replace Judas? Or is it going to be the name of Paul? We're going to have to wait till we get there, aren't we? And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed. 12,000 furlongs. My marginal reference says 12,000 furlongs is 1,500 miles. And he measured the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And we see here, notice, I stopped here at verse 16. The length and the breadth and the height of this New Jerusalem is what? What's your word?
Equal.
The New Jerusalem is going to be 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. Whoa. Can't comprehend. I can't bite into that one and chew it, can you? I can't imagine something like that. But it goes on. He measured, verse 17, the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of the men. That's 72 yards, the wall. The building of the wall of it was jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now get this. Remember the foundations? How many foundations were there in that new city? 12, each one having the name of an apostle. And guess what? It gets better, because every foundation is a different color of stones. I like stones. Anybody here like stones? I'm a sucker for stones. Beautiful stones, pretty stones. I don't get tired of them. Guess what? In glory. Look what God has done with the wall around that city. They were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, a chrysosophrus, the 11th, a jacinth, and the 12th, a what? An amethyst. And what is that color?
Purple.
Top of it all was purple. Whoa. Nick, isn't that going to be something to see? Wow. And get this. Now the 12 gates, and each one of them was named what? A name of one of the tribes. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was one pearl. I've never seen a pearl that big, have you, to be the gate of a city? Whoa. The street was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. Now get this, there will not be a temple there. Well, that's strange. Why isn't there a place to go worship? Here's why: because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb Himself are the temple of the New Jerusalem. We don't need a place to worship. The person we worship is going to be in the midst. Isn't that something to comprehend? And the city, now get this, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Well, it's going to be awfully dark If there's no sun or moon, no. The glory of God is going to give light to that huge city. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500. The glory of God is going to be all that place, that city needs. And now get this. Here's something very unusual. There's going to be nations at that time. There's going to be people on earth. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor unto the city. The gates will never be shut at all by day. There is no night there. And they're going to bring the glory and honor of the nations into the city. But in reality, that's unto whom? The glory and the honor is going to be brought to whom? To the Lord. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the city, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. You know what? I think it's the same tree that God had in the Garden of Eden. Remember, there was a tree of life that God quickly drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, lest they do what? Eat of it and live forever. But when we get home to glory, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, there in the midst of the city, is going to be the tree of life. And notice, it bears 12 manner of fruit, yields a different fruit every month, and the leaves of the nation were for the healing of the nations. There'll be no more curse. Gone. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and get this, his servants are going to get the privilege of doing what's your Bible say? Huh? How long? Doesn't say, does it? I thought it said forever. Sorry about that. Should say that, I would think. And they shall get this. We're going to get to see his face eternally. And his name is going to be written on their foreheads. There'll be no night. They need no candle. Neither light of the sun. The Lord gives them light and they shall, here you go, they're going to reign how long? Forever and ever. And I'm going to dwell in his presence. How long? Psalm 23. Forever. Well, what a glorious thing to consider. What a blessed truth for every believer. Robert Morgan said this in closing. Never forget that the last word of Psalm 23 is the first word of eternity. Forever. That's what eternity is. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given me of going through this familiar psalm of old. Piece by piece in these past weeks, I trust you have received the glory. I trust you have ministered to our hearts. May this precious eternal truth tonight uplift our spirits. May we think on it often in the coming days. What's in store for us? It's not so much the place we're going to be, but it's the person that we're going to be spending eternity with. Dismiss us now with your blessing on these words. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen.